side. It's there!
Don't think, don't hate, do!
The best team of the modern era.
This is AFL Exchange on afl.com.au.
Hello everyone, welcome to AFL Exchange episode 12 for 2018. I'm Callum Toomey. I'll be hosting again today because Matt Thompson is unavailable. I hope he has a good excuse, Nick Bowen.
I do too. Because
well, do you really? Let's be frank.
No, not really. No.
Last week went so smoothly.
It did, yeah. It did.
And we had great feedback.
Great feedback.
Yeah, outstanding feedback. The most terrific, most tremendous feedback we've had.
I tried to get Matt to have a listen and I don't know that he did.
Maybe he saw the feedback and just thought, I don't want to see no evil type thing. It's just it didn't happen as far as he's concerned.
I think the fact he wasn't involved may have had something to do with it as well.
That is the voice of Angus Brayshaw, Melbourne midfielder. Hello, Angus.
G'day, everyone. I'm still here. I'm still Matt Thompson.
You're still here. It's good to have you here because you're actually on bye week.
Yes.
So what does that entail for you this week?
So we play Friday next week against Port in Adelaide. So We get a four-day break from today to Saturday, and then we go out to the club Sunday and prepare for that game. So that's a good opportunity just to refresh and recharge, and this is probably the halfway point of the season. So it's good to just to take stock and consolidate everything that's happened, and then really just hit this second half of the season with pace.
You're getting away. Are you playing some golf?
I was going to. I booked to come down to King Island, but I got a little knock on my wrist, and I can't really grip the golf club with the required strength. So I thought I'd give it a miss this week and be the professional. So I'll just be at home and relaxing.
Yeah, that looks suspiciously like LeBron James' hand after the. You didn't hit a whiteboard, mate, did you? After Queen's birthday?
No, I didn't. So I'm not quite on LeBron James level yet. Maybe if I go around smacking whiteboards, I'll become the greatest of all time.
You probably will be with the new contract.
Well, maybe. Maybe that's why Matt Thompson's out. Yep. Well, it's speculation. A lot of people are not sure. We've got a whiteboard in here.
He's pretty keen to get a decision program going up with Angus as well, similar to the LeBron thing. And we'll work on it.
But we'll see. Maybe that's a special edition
of the AFL Exchange podcast.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You're a big LeBron fan. Have you recovered from the Cavs loss?
I was a bit filthy on Saturday, Kel, to be honest with you. Yep. It was a pretty disappointing way to go out.
Pretty meek way to go, isn't it? Like they're all over him in game one.
Yeah. I think once J.R. Smith did what he did, that there was no coming back from that. They're never going to win. There's too much talent on Golden State, but when you've got a chance, you've got to take it, and that was very, very disappointing.
Oh, well. Speaking of disappointing, the D's weren't too good on Monday. Angus, what happened there? Because the Pies are out of the blocks early.
Yep.
End up losing by 42 points. Six-game winning streak is over. What do you put it down to?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think reflecting on the game and probably the Hawthorn and Richmond games that we also lost, the common trend is that we sort of let, on the bigger stage, maybe the small things that we don't do get magnified and then they just get away from us. So our contest work, which we really pride ourselves on, wasn't up to scratch. I thought Collingwood got some really good midfielders and Grundy's a really good ruckman and the pressure they put on us, we kept doing little handballs and invited probably that a bit more, and then they were just able to run it forward too easily. So they were the better team on the day, and I think I honestly think it's a good thing because we weren't at our best, and I think that was obvious. But I think it'll refocus everyone if we sort of limp across the line and beat Collingwood, but we're not playing at our best, and then we go into this bye break. Maybe blokes get a bit complacent and think, oh, well, we won, so it's not that bad. Whereas now we get some really clear learnings from a loss on against Collingwood, and we go into this break with a heap of clarity about, and I think focus and motivation to come back and use this as a real stepping stone for the rest of the season. So I think it's a learning opportunity, and I think we can't win every game. Six in a row was good, but we're always going to lose one game, and I think to have it come now is going to give us a really good springboard for the rest of the season.
The Pies are an interesting side, I reckon. That they're, I think at the start of the year, everyone was thinking that they're in a spot of bother and have really turned things around and look a genuinely, finals contender, if nothing else. How good were they? How do they stack up against the sides you've played so far?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a really good midfield. There's, five or six guys who win 30 touches most week, and I think that makes them really dangerous. They've got some, Treloar, Pendlebury. Degoe had a great game, but, anyone, they've got a heap of blokes who can pop up, and so it makes them a tough side to plan for, and they all got up and going on the weekend, and when that happens, I think they're a really good team and can compete with anyone. So I think it looks like they're going to be playing finals, and I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Nick, what do you think? Can they win it?
No, I don't think they can win it. But
they've won 8 out of 10 since round 2. 4 straight wins at an average of 7 goals. So they're flying at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, look, they can. I mean, I suppose the last 2 seasons, if they've taught us anything, it's that you can't write off any team that can play at that standard. I think that their best is very good. But I just think that the best teams won't probably allow them to play their way. And they're not going to do it, you wouldn't think, from a top 4 position, would you? I mean,
no.
Can they make top 4?
I don't think so, but the way they're going, it's such an even season at the top there. Yeah. If they knock off a couple of teams that they probably aren't expected to, then you never know.
They're a bit like Richmond to me. I mean, I think in some ways, structurally, you look at them and you see Mason Cox up holding the forward line together. Mm. Now, can he do that in the finals? I mean, his development has been tremendous.
I like really their forward setup, though, and the way that they're...
All the mediums,
not relying on anyone to kick a bag any 1 week. They're sharing the bags around. I mean, Jaden Stevens kicked 5 earlier in the year. Josh Thomas has kicked 5. Will Hoskin Elliott's kicked a bag.
6, yeah.
Obviously, Cox on the weekend kicked 5 and was probably a BOG. So, they've got a good mix in there. We've mentioned Stevenson there. I mean, he's just so exciting. He kicked 18 goals this season in his debut. Pick 6 last year. You know all the story about the heart stuff and all that. But he's just one of the most unique players to come up against, I imagine, because you don't really know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I think he's in some terrific form and he's lightning quick. So I think that's enough to be a matchup difficulty. But I think the midfield sort of dominance Collingwood had over the weekend made it, it's so hard to defend. Smart, quick players like him when it's just flying in. So, he's playing well and their team's playing well, so it's all gone really well. I think anyone who had any doubts about him getting taken so highly earlier in the year has probably had those doubts dispelled.
Hmm. Well, what about the quality of their defence, Angus? I mean, there's a big load on Lyndon Dunn, former D, and in some ways it looks like a cobbled together backline, if you like, that they've...
Jeremy Howe, they just pushed there. He's done brilliantly.
Yeah, they lost Nathan Brown and Jack Foster, I think, a year and a half ago, and so they've managed to put together this back line. I mean, it's doing remarkably well, and Lyndon Dunn, was almost steak knives, wasn't he, really? That I mean, he's really still playing some pretty good footy.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, the doubts people would have had about Collingwood would have been how would, their defence go against, good forward lines, and I think they're proving a lot of people wrong. So it's just going to be, it's, what is it, round 13 coming up? So it's halfway through.
Episode 12, though.
Episode 12, round 13.
No, we're clear on that, though. That's good.
And there's a heap of season left. So I think if they can keep building on what they've already, I think it's a good time at the bye for everyone to consolidate progress you've made, or if you've got a few things to change up, then change them up. But I think for Collingwood, they're just going to look at what they've done really well and what's gone to this point and trying to keep it going.
Just one last thing on Stevenson. He was actually one of the guys we followed through last year as part of the Going Places series. So, and it was interesting because his confidence now doesn't really surprise me a lot, because he actually used to have this thing where the opponent that came up to him, he'd say to himself, Jaden would say to himself in his own head, good luck to you, mate, because you're no chance, basically. That's the way he thinks.
Good on him.
At the start of every game, he'd think, good luck to you, mate, you're going to have a bad day. Now, sometimes it'll work for him, sometimes it'll work for a quarter, but it's working on the top level, so he's probably the rising star favourite.
Where would he have gone in the draft if there hadn't been the concerns?
Oh, I don't think he was going to go that much higher.
Okay.
I don't think he was ever going to go 1 or 2.
Yep.
So, I mean, North probably would have looked at him. North, I think, still had him ruled in terms of his medical stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think they ruled him out on that front, so he might have been in the mix there at pick 4, but he was never going to go pick 1, even though he was a Brisbane Lions supporter. Now, the big question...
One more on the D's game now. A really normally accurate Melbourne track watcher who may go by the initials of Ben Guthrie was suggesting to me, Angus, that you might have had a bit of a sore calf in the lead-up to Queen's birthday. How was that, and how is it now?
It's fine. I had a training. I kicked in the ankle. It would have been nearly a month ago now, and I just burst a blood vessel in there, and it's leaking. Essentially, bruised. I had this huge bruise on my ankle, And it just, so we physio, and it goes down, and then I play on the weekend, and because it's not structural, I can play and train like, and without any worries. And then I play and I train and it swells back up, and then it's just this process. So I got to the point where the physios were just really keen to flush it all out, because it's sort of impacting a bit of my range in my ankle and the way I'm running. So it was just a lighter week on the track, and no calf really.
It's never misses Guthrie, does he?
Never misses. Pick up. But
I did have a light week.
It is interesting though, because we just as footy fans of footy public, you wouldn't know what every player is sort of dealing with, and I'm sure you're not alone in that front, that carrying these little niggles. Which coach was BOS, boys? Best on slide.
I've got to give it to Chris Fagan, just out of sympathy, really.
Yeah, that's a sympathy vote.
Look, I could see myself doing that, and to pull your hamstring off the boat.
I wish I saw you.
You're probably, all you're thinking about is getting down that slide, hitting the ice water, and you're not even thinking about getting out, are you?
Not thinking about phase two at all.
And I don't know whether he went down late or early, but that step's probably pretty slippery.
I need one of those signs. Slippery.
I'd need a little bit of support, just a couple of staffers just to help me get the aching body out of there.
He's got the sympathy votes for you.
Definitely.
Clarko.
You're just going for your mate.
No. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the angst between him and horse.
That's true.
For him to put a horse head on and go down the slide, I thought was hilarious.
It wasn't a veiled message, sort of Godfather style, was it?
Maybe.
Potentially. Well, my favourite was actually John Longmire as a jockey. I thought that was a good touch, given the size of the bloke. But it looked like a good bit of fun for all the guys, and well done for all of them.
Would have been cold.
And what about Bevo going down almost as
surfer
a...
surfer style.
Yeah, that was good. That.
Fraught with danger.
But hey, he lives on the edge.
Well, he's not the one who's done the hammy from the bone, mate, is he?
Yeah. That's true. He's the last one standing, isn't he? Mm. Port Adelaide, guys, they kicked off the round with a great win over the Tigers. 14 points over there.
They're my bogey team this year. I cannot pick them. Cannot pick them. Every time I put faith in them with the tips, donuts. Every time I go against them. And I actually changed my tip, and then I changed it back because I thought I can't trust them.
You changed from
Richmond initially, Richmond to and then I went Port. To Port about probably 15 minutes before the game, and then
I thought I'm going back
to Richmond. I just couldn't do it.
Well, tip against them again. Tip for them when we play them.
Yeah, I will.
Well, they've won four out of the last six, but again, they're just hard to trust, aren't they? And things are in their favour on the weekend. They're playing the Tigers at their home ground, obviously. Yeah. Dusty. He's over in New Zealand, so. I mean, they got him at a good time, but do we believe that they can challenge? Are they good enough to get there? Is their best going to be good enough to beat the best teams?
It looks good, doesn't it? I think when it's up and about, and I think when they've got Jared Pollock playing well, like he was really good especially in the first half. And I think what you're probably going to get from the likes of Ollie Wines and Robbie Gray and so forth like that. But if you can get that run going from Jared, I think they have a bit of an extra dimension to them, so I reckon they're good.
Well, Angus, when you guys come up against them, who's the guy that you put a lot of time into? Who's the guy that you're sort of very conscious of in terms of what can get the power up and going?
I think Robbie Gray's a pretty good barometer. If he's up and going, then they usually play pretty well. It was interesting to watch our Chad Wingard as well. He went to the midfield and had a real good game.
Yeah. Yeah, 31 touches.
Form, yeah,
and in the week, he sort of put it on himself too. He said, I've got no excuses. It's probably time I have a good one, and he did.
Well, it's good because he was ordinary by his standards against Hawthorn, and it was really surprising his ball use in that game. So to see him bounce back well, given his level of talent, is good.
I think if Charlie Dixon can get going too, they're a bit of a threat. And some news out of Port Adelaide today as well, in that Jack Watts has been dropped for this week's clash. I mean, that's an interesting call.
It is. I think that, get him over there as one of the big three recruits. Obviously couldn't ever quite really, I suppose, live up to potential at Melbourne. And I suppose it begs the question, Cal, is he ever going to be looked at as anything other than a disappointment?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he is either.
No. I mean, unless he plays well in a Port Adelaide final series and can get him, help him towards a premiership at some point. And look,
he's got the talent. He's got the talent to do that,
absolutely,
doesn't he?
I think he's a real talent.
I mean, you've played alongside him. You've played a lot of footy with him. I'm sure you're pretty close with him as well.
Yep.
Have you spoken to him recently about how he's been tracking over there?
I think he's enjoying his time and obviously went over there to play footy, so this would be an interesting one. But Watts, he's the most positive bloke I think I've ever met in my entire life, so I don't think he'll let something like this get him down. And I sort of saw that article, and I think he's in it for the long haul. He's I'm not going to let this something like this get him down, and he'll bounce back pretty quickly.
There'll be plenty of guys that do that. You know, they make the move and they do get dropped sort of in the first half of the year or
Tom
whatever.
Tom Rockliffe was playing for Sandford as well. Yeah, he didn't get dropped per se, but he was out of faction for a little bit.
David Hale at Hawthorn took a while to sort of get into that, and I know he's probably more of a role player than Jack sort of perhaps is, but you know, I think once he found his niche, he was fine. Even Ben McAvoy, I think, struggled initially at Hawthorn, so it can take a little while. So hopefully for Jack, that's the case.
At the moment, Melbourne winning that trade though, because they did pick up Bailey Fritch, who's become a pretty
He's doing well.
Yeah, definitely.
He's looking like a good pickup. Hey, we've already spoken about the Pies being genuine flag contenders potentially. Wondering where the Port Adelaide are. The question's got to be asked about GWS now too, and whether we can envisage a scenario where they can still win the premiership. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were probably all off them. They won a game in Adelaide against the Crows, and that's maybe turned around our opinions. What do you guys think about them now? They're ninth on the ladder.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like I'm going back again to the Bulldogs sort of Richmond scenario. I think I see them as perhaps a one if they can get into the eight and hit form. Then I'd never discount them because the injuries really have crippled them this year. And I think Toby Green being out has been enormous. I think Tom Scully as well really does hurt them. So if they can get those guys back in form, then fine. But the biggest thing is them just making the finals at the moment because their draw coming in is pretty tough.
Well, their next four, just good call on that one. They've got the bye this week, like the D's do over here with Angus. But round four, they face the Lions away.
Yep.
Round 15, they win that one. Round 15 against the Hawks at the... just up against the Hawks. I'm not sure where that was.
It's spotless.
Spotless, okay. Round 16 against West Coast away.
And they'll lose that.
Round 17, Richmond at home, but...
Well, they've got to win. They've got to knock off the Hawks at home, you'd think, wouldn't you? And and maybe the Tigers as well. Maybe win three or four of them because they've got, I think, six wins and a draw so far. They probably need to at least win six.
Yep.
And that may not be enough this year. They might need to win seven.
What makes them dangerous, Angus?
I just think they've got such top end talent. And you speak about injuries, and every team has injuries, but I think the quality of player that they're missing out on at the moment. They've got some real game winners out. So I think, and that's the thing, they've got so many game winners. I mean, Josh Kelly came back and had, 40 touches and two goals. And any other week it could have been, there's a handful of blokes you could just say, go win a game and they'd win you the game. Yep. So I think, they're real dangerous and it's just got to be making the finals.
I reckon Zach Williams as well being out, especially when they lost Nathan Wilson, it's really sort of hurt their half back line a fair bit, hasn't it?
They tried Whitfield there, but it's sort of pushed him back into the midfield now for none.
Yeah, yeah. Of the guys who are out, Angus, who do you reckon is the most important? Who do they most need back?
Well, I thought I was a big fan of Kelly. Always have been. Now he's back. I think Tom Scully's probably another one who...
Okay.
I think the run that he provides might go a little bit underrated at times. I just think that he's tireless and...
Well, I guess once you compare... When you throw him alongside Whitfield and Kelly, there's these three elite gut runners who just go all day. It means you can really whack on a wing and just stick him there.
Yeah. You look at the records for distance covered in games and they're all... Scully, so I just think he's a huge weapon for them, and they're well missed at the moment.
I love Toby Green in attack too. I just think that if there's any sense I sometimes get about the Giants, it's that whether they're competitive enough, and that might be just it's a complete layperson observation, but he's got it in spades. Yeah. And I think that's sort of almost that mongrel that he brings to them.
Finals, you could trust him to sort of step up when he has to.
He can be a team lifter, can't he? I think if you're a little bit flat, if you've had a bad start to the game, he's the one who can sort of get in there, take it by the scruff of the neck, and I think really bring his teammates with him.
And of course, playing the midfield too. Everyone's forgotten that he started his career as a midfielder, not just this gun forward. So hopefully the Giants can get their team back, and we'll see how they all perform. Hey, Nick, a question for you: have you ever run into a fence?
I have. I know. Did you ask that knowing that I have run into a fence? Yeah, I was.
What? Care to explain?
I was running down in the middle of winter, about 6 a.m, running down just running track alongside the train station, and there's a little crossing about 100 metres down, and I saw a car coming. I thought I just don't really want to go to the crossing and be held up, so I thought I'll just cross a little bit early Anyway, I didn't really see the fence. Now, I'm convinced it was a new addition. Others around the neighbourhood are not so kind, but let's just say Fence 1, Bowen 0.
Yeah, well, that encounter. As is often the case.
But yeah, so it was. I went there sort of trying to accelerate into it and didn't come off too
this
well.
This is where
so.
We need a sound effects machine, Jack.
Mm. You didn't expect that response, did you?
I didn't, no. No, I was going to reference your run-in with a car this year on the bike, but I thought...
No, there's no car involved. Again, that was completely self-inflicted.
Oh, wow.
So,
this is awkward now.
I'm happy to provide fodder for everyone.
Yeah,
so,
well, yeah. That's another reason why it's an upgrade at the Matt Thompson position there on the left.
We do miss you, Matty. I'm not sure...
He's not going to listen, so, I mean, we can't.
No, exactly right. Hey, we bring that one up because, obviously, on the weekend... Jack Zeeble, North Melbourne captain, run into the LED fencing it down at GHMBA, whatever that joint's called, and hurt his knees.
Yes.
That's a disgrace. That shouldn't be happening, surely.
No, why not?
You can't have AFL players running into the fence at their own games.
No, it's amateur hour, isn't it?
Coming up for 10 minutes.
I understand why we've got them. You know, we're trying to jazz up the fan experience and that sort of thing.
I love looking at fence. I love looking at the fences during games.
I sense a bit of sarcasm.
Oh, well, could anyone care less about what is on the LED fence? It's the biggest, most overrated piece of garbage. The game
tell us what you really
think. I
wasn't even going to talk about this.
He's on now.
So bored about reading and hearing about LED. It's so boring. I could not care less. I don't think anyone in the whole ground could care less. Oh, at halftime, they make a supporter run around against a fake Jeep. Who cares?
I don't mind that.
Our guy was
until they run into it.
Yeah, our guy was running on the weekend and missed the start. And when he realised that the race had started, the LED was already... And everyone laughed at him. So.
Well, I know why they're doing that at Melbourne, because Hogan's Heroes, the bloke almost killed himself when he jumped
Christian
up.
Christian Matraka's teacher from White Friars.
What's that actually?
These students were there at the game and they're filming him and then like they're zooming in and he's just lying there.
So what did his feet come out from underneath him? Did he slip up? Or?
I think he got up there, right up there on the bag and then just came down. And
coming down with a thud, it was...
He hadn't got up that high before.
He's okay.
The main thing is the players are complete. You should expect to have a safe workplace, and if some of this stuff sort of becoming a hazard, then we've got to get to the bottom of that.
Are you aware of it when you play?
Not really at all. I think we need a fence, so that's
obviously
not up for debate. But I guess it's never happened to me, so it's
you're too busy looking at the replays of yourself on the scoreboard and nice snag, nice hanger.
Yeah, it's easy to avoid the fence when you're just looking at the scoreboard. Actually, you'd think that's a bit counterintuitive. If you're just looking up, then you'd be more inclined to run into a fence, wouldn't you?
No, but you're not observing what's happening with the LED, are you?
No.
Who is?
It's hard. They're bright sometimes.
Ah, bright. Have you felt it up close though? Can you actually tell
us? They're like little. What's the best way? It's like little pyramids. Imagine a pyramid.
Yep.
Like the big one, but just shrunk right down to like a tiny. And there's like 100 little pyramids, like pointy type.
So if you put it up against your hand, you sort of feel all these little sort of
points.
Is that the protective screen over it, or is that just the actual screen?
I'm not an LED technician, Nick, so I can't give you a whole lot there. But it would hurt
I'm with you. Yeah.
It just shouldn't happen.
What happens if you run into a normal fence? So how much less injured would you be if you...
Well, if it's a flat fence, you wouldn't be getting scratched, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah.
If it's a plastic...
True.
Let's say the fence at Haileybury College that you've played at is
no. Nah, I played on a fenceless Rendell Oval.
Okay, so now it's got a nice saw. Fence.
Well, these sort of things didn't seem to be happening 5 years ago, did they? No.
And Mark Blitzarbs earlier in the year, obviously at WA.
Yeah.
So you want to scrap the fence?
Scrap the fence. No, just scrap the LED. It's boring. I'm just so not interested in the LED.
There we go. Okay, Gil, you've been told.
Speaking of a game that's sort of. It could be pretty boring on Saturday, but it might have some some sort of interest.
Prisoners
in a different sort of way. Gold Coast is playing St Kilda on Saturday at Metricon Stadium.
I saw the Sydney St Kilda game last week. Was working at that. My God, that first quarter was horrific.
St Kilda really hard to watch at the moment. And which side has been most disappointing this year out of those two?
Not even a contest. The Saints by a country mile, I think. They expected to make the eight. Now, whether others expected them to, I certainly thought they'd at least be in the conversation, you know, be up around 10th or whatever and have a chance by the end of the season to get in there. But have won their first game and none since, just the draw against Giants to show for it, is so disappointing. And if I was a supporter, it's just really that you can't see it with this list. I just you just sort of don't know where they're sort of going. There's good, I suppose, spread of age, demographics, that sort of thing, but just doesn't look to be the talent there, really, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Angus, you said St Kilda there as well, but on the other hand, what have you liked about the Gold Coast in what's been some still pretty bleak times, too?
I just think that if you look at the circumstances, and I know they don't use this as an excuse, but to play, you know, however many games away from home and flying to the China and then here and then, and they're driving up to Brisbane to play, and they've had odds stacked pretty heavily against them for a team that was probably not expected to do too well. I think if you're certainly comparing the Saints, because I thought they'd be, you know, I think everyone thought that they'd at least be competitive enough.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, I think Gold Coast, everyone sort of knew what you'd be getting, and for them to have the odds stacked against them, and I think they've done well enough to, you know, keep the hope if you want to say that.
Well, they only had the one home game, and I reckon they were okay before the last month. The last month they've started to fall away, because round seven I think they lost narrowly to the Dogs in Ballarat.
Mm. Yeah,
so that was to me, if you could think of any less accommodating place for someone who's used to warmth, it's Ballarat, isn't it? So they go there and give the Dogs, who, you know, I know haven't been flying this year, but to really run them close, and in a lot of ways could have won.
Mm.
I thought it was a really good effort.
Which side has more at stake this weekend then?
St Kilda, because, you know, the talk in the media box the other night was, or was it too early to talk about this being Richo coaching for his job?
Yeah.
I think it is. I mean, if they've re-signed him for another couple of years, you wouldn't have thought they're going to pull the pin.
Not during the year, but I think if it goes like it has the second half of the season...
Oh, I agree.
It's big trouble.
I agree, because he's... The list, I mean, it has its shortcomings, and I don't see it being good enough to really get to where they need to go.
It's not this bad, though.
No, exactly right. So I think that you can't have had that... you know, have had that constant build over the last, say, 2 or 3 years, 4 years, and looked as though you're on the up, and have everything age-wise and games experience pointing towards that sort of spike, and have this sort of performance. So clearly something's not working.
Well, it still comes down to him, doesn't it, in terms of getting the most out of his players. And Angus, you'll agree that it's up to a coach to do that, to extract a lot out of his players, and he's not getting that from his players at the moment. Jack Billings has gone backwards this year. How does that happen?
Yeah.
It's just doesn't make sense how that happens under a coach who's been there for 4 or 5 years and has built this list alongside the recruiters.
He was certainly asked whether he'd lost confidence in himself or his players, and answered in the negative to both, that, you know, he's confident in his methods and that they'll go back and review the game thoroughly and not hide away from it. All the things you expect him to say, but, you know, it's just meaningless unless they get the response on the field, really, isn't it? So, you know, I hope for their sake that they can come out and hit the Suns pretty hard this week and we have a decent game.
Do you guys think it's ever going to work for the Suns?
Jeez. Ever?
Ever.
Can
you see a future for them where they're this thriving, popular club with a consistent fan base?
Well, they've got to start retaining players, don't they? I think that's, you know, if Lynch goes at the end of the year, then that is a massive setback. Let's not sugarcoat that in one way, shape or form. To lose your co-captain, one of the best young key position players in the competition, would be a disaster when you've lost O'Meara, Prestia a couple of years earlier. So, and in some ways that opens the floodgates for next year, because they've got a lot of free agents coming out, David Swallow, Stephen May and a few others. So they've got to find a way to keep these guys, and it's, you know, they've got to be attractive, and I suppose that starts with the on-field stuff, but... If there's this revolving door the whole time, then they've got no hope.
What's it like being a club that's struggling to get a win?
Yeah, it's a terrible place to be. It shouldn't be, because the idea is to keep it on an even keel, no matter, you don't get too high with the good wins, don't get too low with the losses. But when they keep compounding, and, you know, they've had a few hidings, and it's probably got worse, you're right, over the last month, it's a tough place to be. So then it really falls back, you talk about leaders, comes back on them and the coaching staff to, you know, try and stay the course. And I think it really, especially in times like this, it sort of filters down from the top. So they just need to, you know, keep, if they believe they're on the right course, and they just need to, you know, keep trucking along.
When you're going through those tough times, or when you went through those tough times at Melbourne, how important was it for you that you're at home and you've got family and friends to sort of turn to, and I suppose get a bit of balance or a bit of escape from your footy. Was that pretty important for you?
Yeah, I think an escape is probably the main thing. Yeah. So I played a lot of golf. I had uni to go to. So I think as long as family, I probably take for granted because I haven't travelled in, been drafted into the state. So it's hard for me to really say about that as a factor. But I just think that, there has to be something just to get you out of the rut. And also, I think from when I was going through it, I always believed that there was light at the end of the tunnel, and I could see, you know, young players and the way we were trying to play and the way we were being coached. I always believed that, and I had hope that it would turn around. So I think if there's an absence of that, and at the Gold Coast, it's hard to say that, obviously, without being in there, but it's a hard place to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of family, Cirioli has headed to Darwin to be with his family. Is there a chance we might have seen the last of Cyril at AFL level, Nick?
I would hope not. Yeah. I would hope not.
We hope not, but it just
has to be a chance, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think he's. You've always got the sense with Cyril that he was never going to play as an old footballer. That he would get to a time and just gracefully just walk off into the sunset and go home to Darwin. So I don't think he's someone who's driven by the need to push up to 300 games or try and get, you know, eke every last little morsel that he can out of his career. So, look, it's a possibility. I think that he's obviously had some family issues and attended to some of those last year. And quite rightly so. I mean, that's the biggest thing in life. And he's going to put them first. And I would hope that we do see more of him because he's been such a great...
He's unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah, so good to watch.
It's indefinite at the moment, so I don't think anyone really knows how long he'll be away for. No. But the Hawks are 11th. How big a blow is this to their finals chances, Angus?
I just think, I spoke before about game winners and how important they are and how much they can hurt you if they're missing in GWS's case. I just think that Cyril is a game winner and can turn... Spoke about Toby Green being able to flick the switch and turn a game on its head. I just think Cyril is probably the stereotype. If you're thinking about blokes who can do that sort of stuff, he's the guy who you sort of picture. And I think, it's going to be hard to replace a guy like him, and I'm not sure anyone could if they lost the Super Bowl.
The mix of his pressure and his skill, you know, and those big occasions.
He's ahead of the game in some ways with that.
And, I mean, he doesn't need many positions to burn you. I mean, I don't think there's been a more efficient footballer possession to impact that I've ever seen.
No, he's... And that's in some respects sometimes has been a criticism of him as well, hasn't it? But like, imagine if you got 25 touches and was able to do that. But I guess in his own way, that's his brilliance. I had heard for a little while, a little whisper been around for a little while that sort of the 200 game frontier had been something that he was working towards. Okay. He really can get 200 games, and that's been around for a couple of years. But he's done 189, and he's not going to get to 200 this year. It would mean if he's going to get there, he'd have to play on next year. Obviously, he's contracted for next year.
Yeah.
But we know that if he decides to retire, that's null and void. So obviously the Hawks would not want that to happen, but they'll give as much time as they...
So 2007 draft, what is he, about 28, 29?
That'd make him about 28, 29, so a great career, and hopefully not the end of a great career so far. Hey, who do you think's the All-Australian captain at the moment,
Trent
guys?
Trent Cotchin?
Trent Cotchin?
Yes.
I don't think you'd even have him in my team.
You wouldn't have him in your team?
I'm not sure.
Well, the only other one I could see was Nat Fyfe of the captains. I mean, there's no reason you have to have a captain, but
I was going to say Fyfe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm not saying he's the best captain, but I think of the captains, he's the best performed, and he's definitely in the Australian team for me.
I think Cochin's had a great year. I think he's had a better year than Dusty, and I reckon he's probably been a little bit hard done by in the past, I think, to miss out on occasion. So I really would like to push him this year.
I'm sure he's rapt about that.
I'm on the Fyfe train.
You're on the Fyfe train?
I'm on the Fyfe train. Yeah. I just think for the same reasons, Cal. I think he's, I think he's the best player in the competition. And say what you want about what happened with this incident the other week, I just think that, he's the best of the captains available.
So I know you don't take much interest in Freo games. You don't watch your brother when he's in town or all that sort of thing. But have you asked him about playing alongside Nat Fyfe and what that's actually like?
Well, no, because I clearly don't care. He
sucked it up.
Bring back Thompson.
Well, actually, they lived together for a while, and I think Andrew just loves. He's the sort of bloke that you just walk tall, standing next to when you're running out together. And I think that's a trait of all good leaders. They, you know, and Andrew's, I mean, he's played every game, but he's a young first year player who's probably nervous about, you know, he's playing on the big stage. And I think he is a real calming influence on Andrew from what I can gather. And yeah, I just reckon he's a superstar player and leads by example. So
he's definitely got that explosiveness back to his game this year, which is great, isn't it? And taking those floating marks across front of packs, great to watch.
I love his just the ability of him to be the superstar of the comp. I think he enjoys being seen as the superstar of the comp. We saw that the walk in and the dress sense and the glasses.
Yeah, I was going to say
hair.
the dress and the man bun, or stylish man bun, of course.
Yeah, walk into the tribunal, like not just
the glasses. The glasses,
I just like it. There's a little bit of American
swagger
about him. Genuine swagger. Yeah. That's not why I've got him as captain. Have you got a dark horse for the All Australian team?
I reckon there are a few, but the one I've gone with is Tom Stewart. Okay. I think he's been excellent for Geelong, and another mature age hit for them, really, isn't it, as a recruit. He's that really good size, I think, that he can play a bit taller, and he's deceptively tall and marks really well. I reckon he's been outstanding this year.
I'm going to start a rebellion if Neville Jetta doesn't get picked in the All-Australian team. A genuine rebellion, and I think I get a lot of support. I think, who's the better small defender?
Well, I mean, Tom Stewart can play as a small defender.
But you probably want Neville Jetta more on your Eddie Betts or someone like that, I would have thought, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. No, you've put me on the spot there, but...
Well, sorry for that. But the point I was illustrating is that Neville Jetta's, in my opinion, you talk about Tom Stewart and there's blokes who can play small, but he's just... And he wins critical contests every time. He stops balls. He saved the amount of goals he saved for us. And maybe I'm a bit biased in speaking because I get to see him do it every week, but I just think that he's been underrated. I think he's all Australian.
What's he like? We don't know much about him because he doesn't talk much in the media.
He's just unassuming, simple. He's a family man, really passionate about the football club and caring about... you know, how we're going and what's going on. And I just think that, there's not a more respectful, nicer bloke. He bumps in my old man every now and then and says, Mr. Brayshaw, how are you going?
Nice. Really? That is old school, isn't it?
Yeah, really. But he's just, such a nice fella. And so deserving. Like, and forget all that because he's one of the best blokes in footy, but he's deserving. I think that's the thing.
He's stuck it out, hasn't he, with some really dark times at the club. Yeah, he's one of the survivors of that really bleak
and
period.
And delisted at one point as well, which is hard to believe, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To turn it around the way he has and so emphatically is a great effort. But I reckon we're going to see a few first-timers this year.
Well,
I think that there's some good names that have been. I think, Tom McDonald will... Going close to a forward position. He's averaging more goals a game than anyone. Missed a few, 3.6, so that's really good. Josh Caddy, does he get
a
kick?
He's in.
Yeah.
He has to be. He's going to finish with 45 goals, Josh Caddy, across half forward. And my dark horse is Tom Phillips. So
I had him down as well.
Angus played him on the weekend and kept him a little bit quieter. But he's still averaging 27 and a goal a game.
Yeah.
So his numbers stack up pretty well as... one of the best wingmen in it.
One of the reasons I reckon the Pies have looked so exciting this year that they've been able to unearth some new talent like that. So, he's been great.
Now, the state of the game gets talked about so much.
Do we have to?
Are you going
to
have another rant? Can I sense a rant coming on?
I'm not going to start another rant. I've had my one for today. But does it put you to sleep? Are you guys interested?
I've already started my rebellion with Neville Jenna, so I won't start none on this. I just find it... I just think it's... Yeah, I mean, there's always been bad games, the people just trying to, if it's not broke, how broke is it, Matt? We've Collingwood in Melbourne, there was 85,000 people, 141 to 90-odd, and you always get bad games. There's always teams who are in dips, and I just think it's they're trying to fix something that isn't necessarily that broke.
No, I think when you go to the game, as opposed to watching it on TV, and you see all the numbers up one half of the ground, and it gets locked in there repeatedly... That's when I think you sort of think, well, that's not ideal. We want to see a little bit more, the numbers spread across the ground a little bit more. And I think that sort of footy, it just seems for whatever reason, when one team puts the clamps on, it's so hard for the other team to sort of get out of there. So, look, I still think the game's really good too. And I don't think there's any sort of sense of, that we have to be alarmist about it. However, clearly... there is a determination at AFL executive level to change things, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, provided they make the right the right changes. Look, they are aware. I can see, Angus, you're a bit reserved there.
I just don't want them to go, because imagine in 10 years' time when we've got all these zones and all these little finicky points.
Yeah, I reckon.
All these umpires, and you talk about some interpretation of the rules that aren't going. Imagine when we've got 1,000 different rules that are just making every single thing and it just takes away the freedom and what makes our game, I think, beautiful is anything can happen.
My gut feel is that sort of stuff would be a last resort. I reckon the rotations are probably more to the thing. And I'm not saying, I know they've talked about the last touch rule now. I'm not sure that'll happen, but it's worth, if you go back and you look at the goal kicking over the eras, there was, I think, a last touch rule instituted in about the 20s. And that led to a really big spike in goal kicking, Gordon Coventry and whatever else. They revoked that. And then it really stagnated. I think John Coleman, the only guy to kick 100 goals between about 1939 and early 70s.
Yep.
And then they put the out-of-bounds and the full rule in. And that way encouraged teams to be more direct, don't go so close to the boundary line. So I think some of those changes don't necessarily really impact the style of the game that much or ruin the intrinsic qualities of footy. I'm with you. I don't think you want to be saying, oh, geez, I can't run out of this section of the ground or whatever, because you're becoming like netball then.
An intrinsic quality footy, though, is having players of different shapes and sizes. And I reckon the last touch rule would almost kill the ruckman, because you'd only need them for the centre bounce. And then if you bring the ball back in, you'd lose the sort of throw-ins, and I don't think you'd need it as much. So you still have to have a space for the giant. I think you talk about what makes footy beautiful. I like the idea that a team can run out and have all these different shapes and sizes and sorts.
It's such a wide, and I just don't see and this is,
but again,
will happen, but you don't need to impose all these rules onto it. No. How broke is it?
Well, I do think we do see a lot of crap games. I do think that. Yeah. But there's a lot of crap teams.
But you know what? We've got more teams now. We've got 9 games around, and we only used to have 6 when I was sort of growing up in the prehistoric ages. But
and maybe the talent pool isn't big enough to supply 18 teams every year.
It is a lot, isn't it?
That might be part of the issue.
Look, I think the one thing we can take a bit of solace in is that I know the AFL pouring vast resources into this and won't rush to a decision. I think that they know that a lot of the time a rule change can come in with an expected consequence, and frequently it has unintended consequences. So they're fully aware of that, and they're not going to rush into a decision, but there will be some...
Well, the Hawks trialled something recently.
Yeah, they did. Under a closed roof at Etihad, I think we looked at starting positions, certain zones and so forth. So they're clearly looking at some of those more, I reckon, invasive sort of levers, as Steve Hocking likes to call them, that are really probably going to be more of a change to the traditions that we're used to. But there are other things they can look at as well. I think that they're going to look at a whole heap of things. And I think Gil was saying there's even about 30 sort of options that they've got, so forth. They'll go back to the competition committee. They'll make some recommendations to the exec, then obviously the commission, and we go from there. But yeah, I think Angus is right that we've got to tread very carefully with this. But there's certainly, whether you like it or not, there's a determination to have some change, and we've just got to make sure it's the right change.
Absolutely,
it's coming. Maybe Matty's on the competition committee. Maybe that's where he's been.
Well, you'd be mad not to get his insight on the game, wouldn't you? Absolutely mad not to.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing I have got right, if that's what's happened so far.
So he's outgrown the podcast, really. I mean, we thought that we're sort of...
No, he's there representing us.
Wow.
Well, that's what he tells you, maybe.
I don't think he's mentioning your name up there, Kel.
Oh, that's it for another week. We've covered some ground. Anything else, boys? What are you up to this week, Angus? What's on the TV menu? Rick and Morty marathon or...
No, what am I watching at the moment? No, I've got a... Honestly, not a lot planned. And I think that's sometimes you need to be that
calibre. Watch Safe. It's on Netflix.
Safe?
It's 8-part series.
8-part series.
Yeah, very good.
I will.
Murder mystery type thing. You can watch it by next week's show.
100%.
It's with the guy from Dexter.
Okay.
That's a new show.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Safe.
Okay. Michael C. Hall.
Is it a bit of a safe choice or...
Oh.
Jeez, I'm sorry. That's not great.
All right. Matty might be back next week. I'm not sure. Knows? But if he's not, well, we're happy to keep
the
team together. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks, Angus. Thanks, Nick.
Cool.
That's it for AFL Exchange. Thank you, everybody.